Hello, and welcome to Sundance's special sleepcast. I'm Sundance, and this is for Cassidy. Today, we're going to be talking about combustion engines. I highly recommend, if you actually want to learn how a combustion engine works, that you go check somewhere else out. A good place is the How Stuff Works network, either Stuff You Should Know or Car Stuff. I'm sure they have an episode on it, if not two. So go check them out. They'll do a really good job of explaining it. Like I said, in my introduction episode, this is more of just a test bed, and it's kind of a fun way of me to get used to this, and so there won't be a whole lot of super great explanation here, so that's just a forewarning for you. So, the reason I'm doing combustion engines today is because Cassidy kind of likes it when I talk about engines, because it's interesting, and I think she kind of just likes to hear me ramble on about some stuff, so this is a good one to ramble on about. So before we start, we're going to have to do a couple of definitions. First off, it's going to be the head. The head is the very top part of the engine diagram that we're looking at here. It's the part that covers up and encloses the top half of the cylinder, which is our next definition. The cylinder is the round area that goes from the head down to the crankshaft. Crankshaft is our next one. Specifically the crankcase, is what holds the crankshaft. The crankcase is just the lower half of the cylinder and the head that encloses it all. And inside the crankcase is the crankshaft, which is what goes to the transmission. That's where all your power goes to. So with the head, the cylinder, and the crankcase, we have a complete enclosed area. This is where all the stuff happens. This is where all the combustion happens. And it's very tight, and it's made out of strong materials like iron or steel, typically iron, and that's because combustion produces a lot of pressure, and that's what you need to keep it all in there. So the next important part is the piston. The piston is what moves up and down in the cylinder, and the piston has a piston rod which connects to the crankshaft. So this way, the piston moving up and down moves the rod up and down as well, which is attached to the crankshaft, which turns the crankshaft. And that's how you get your power. The very last thing to know is there are valves. And valves go in the head at the very top. They're openings. In the head, there are openings. And these openings have the valves inside of them. And they allow gases to move in or out from the head while still keeping the compression. So they open when they need to, and they close and keep the compression in the engine there itself. So, now that we know all those important parts, I'm going to go ahead and explain that I'm just going to be covering four-stroke engines. There are two-stroke engines. They operate slightly different than a four-stroke engine. They are not nearly there are far, far more four-stroke engines. It's much more common, and two-strokes are more rare in just the world in general. Almost every single car you've ever seen has been a four-stroke, with very few exceptions. And four-strokes and two-strokes have their own advantages and disadvantages, but one of the biggest things with four-strokes for the modern consumer is that four-strokes just use gasoline. A two-stroke, you need to mix oil in with your gasoline, and that's because of how it's lubricated. Four-stroke is lubricated separately, so you just have to have your little dipstick, and then you check your oil every once in a while. I'm sure everyone knows what that is. So that's why we use four strokes a lot. Also, these are only gasoline engines. Diesel engines also have four strokes and two strokes. They work differently than a gasoline four stroke, so I won't be covering that. And also, there are diesel two strokes, but they're even more rare than gasoline two strokes. An example of a diesel two stroke would be a train engine. They have to be massive. And to overcome the downsides to a diesel two-stroke, you really have to just have a huge amount of power, which doesn't happen on modern roads or anything. It's only for industrial applications. Okay, so let's get started. The four-stroke is called a four-stroke because it has four cycles. Sometimes it's known as a four-cycle engine. The four cycles are intake, compression, power, and exhaust. So with the first cycle, the intake, the piston moves downwards in the cylinder. As it moves downwards, the valves at the top of the head open up and allow the fuel and air mixture to come in. The piston moving downward creates a vacuum. When the valves open up, the fuel air mixture gets sucked in to the chamber. As it reaches the bottom, the valves close, so it's a completely closed area, and the piston moves upwards, causing the second stroke, the compression. As the piston moves up, there's nowhere for the gases to go, so it begins to compress. And as it compresses, it gets hot as well, because compression creates heat, because you're forcing all the particles into a small area. So this fuel air mixture is getting very hot. And as it reaches the top, it goes into the power stroke. And that's where, of course, I forgot something in my definitions. There's a spark plug at the very top. You've probably heard of this. All its job is to create a tiny spark. So as the piston reaches the very top of the cylinder, it's very, very hot. The spark goes off. The fuel is lit. Gasoline and air mixed together already is a flammable material. And it's already hot. So it just takes a little spark and it lights the whole thing on fire right as the piston hits the top. That combustion, from where the combustion engine gets its name, creates a lot of pressure and a lot of force. And that forces the piston downward, which is our third stroke, the power stroke. This is the important one because this is where you get all the power. The piston moving downwards at a high rate, it has a lot of power. It moves the crankshaft in a circle. How the rod is connected to the crankshaft causes it to turn in a circle. And that's where you get all your power. It goes to your wheels or your transmission or wherever it's going. So when it gets to the bottom of that, all the power has been used into turning the crankshaft. And it moves back upwards again in the fourth stroke, the exhaust. As it's moving upward, the other pair of valves open up and allow the gas that has been burnt and all that, just burnt gasoline and air, it gets forced out of the cylinder as the piston moves upwards. And at the top of the stroke, the valve closes there, the other set of valves open up, and the intake stroke starts again. So that's four strokes. That's it at its basics. There's a lot more like details to cover, you know? I mean, you couldn't make a four-stroke engine just by throwing together these things I've described. There's a lot more technical specs and little things like bearings and piston rings and the shapes of how the piston is and how the cylinder walls are and whatnot. It's all very complicated. That's why we let engineers and people who have studied the old designs and basically built on the back of 100 years of research to create our combustion engines. And you can see that every day we're getting more and more fuel efficient. Fuel efficiency just means it uses less gas to create more power. And a lot of that is just how the engines are designed and how they've been worked to maximize the most of that power stroke or reducing friction or just whatever. Everything, every little piece that you do, even if it's insignificantly small, eventually it adds up, especially over how much we drive using these combustion engines. If you drive, you know, 200,000 miles on this combustion engine and an engineer designed a thing that only saved 0.001% fuel every time the piston turned, that's a lot of fuel over time. That's a lot. And so that's why all these minuscule things are changing our daily lives, even if we don't know it. And we're working on it harder and harder every day. So if you're an engineer that works on combustion engines, thank you. We all love it. We all want to pay less for gas, and we want to see our engines last longer and go farther and be better to the environment as well. So thanks for that, I guess. So that's combustion engines. Thanks for listening. Cassidy, you should be asleep by now. Anybody else, thanks for listening. I don't know why you're here, I suppose, but if you do have any questions or comments or want to hear me talk about something, go ahead and send me an email at sundancesleepcast@gmail.com, and I'll see you guys next time. Thanks.